Hello, welcome. My name's John Burns, and this is my podcast, Outdoors in Scotland, for the people who like the outdoors in Scotland and anywhere else. There's a big event coming up in a couple of weeks for everyone who likes the outdoors in Scotland. It's Fort William Mountain Festival, and I'm pleased to say that I'll be performing my show, I think you'd have to call it, Bothy Tales there. And it's almost impossible to describe Bothy Tales. It's not a talk, it's not a play, it's stand-up comedy, and it'll be a hoot. And joining us in at the festival will be a man, I think, who puts the adventure into cycling, Marcus Stitz. And Marcus has joined me today. I'm gonna have to let him tell you where he is. He's actually, I don't normally speak to people who are in the middle of an adventure. I usually talk to them at the end, you know. But Marcus is here. How you doing, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm in a cozy small cabin in the middle of a national park in Norway. And yeah, just kind of halfway through a big adventure at the moment. And yeah, kind of
So,
got a
what do you actually do? What's this actually part of then? What are you attempting to do?
I it's just I well, I'm on a e-cargo bike, which is an e-cargo bike, yeah. So it's basically a long tail cargo bike, which basically means it looks like a normal bike on the front, and the back end is much longer, and that's where you can put all a lot of stuff. And I've used the same bike. Actually, I've got one at home as well, but the one I'm riding here is one which is based in Norway, because that's one disadvantage of e-bikes is you can't really easily ship them around, aka take them on the plane. And this one, due to the fact that it's quite heavy as well, you would not want to carry it that. So basically, so yeah, I've got this cargo bike with a motor and 27.5 by 4 inch tires. If people can't imagine that, they're pretty wide. They're pretty big tires. I set off 4 days ago on Sunday in Eidsvoll, which is north of Oslo. It's about an hour's train journey. No, half an hour train journey from Oslo Central Station. In the UK, it would be an hour because trains here are a bit quicker. And yeah, and then basically, so my plan was basically to have a winter bikepacking adventure. It's possibly as simple as that. As with a lot of other adventures, like I've given myself like a time frame. I want to be back in Oslo by Sunday night. And within that, yeah, write as much as I can and get as much pictures and videos as I can, and enjoy Norway. And so far, it's been an amazing journey.
Really?
But yeah,
I mean,
it's cold but nice.
cycling in Norway in the winter sounds to me pretty tough going, is it? It's been like that?
I think I think like the word tough basically depend a little bit depends on your reference points, I would say. I think I've done quite a bit of cycling in winter, so, and I've got good equipment as well. So the bike's got studded tires. I've tested it in below zero temperatures to kind of see if it can handle it, and it can. And I've got pretty good clothes as well. I've got boots that go down to, well, the company claims down to minus 25. I would possibly not want to cycle at minus 25. But I think anything up to minus 15 is okay. I've got pogies on the handlebars. So pogies are a bit like basically big cloths which wrap around the both ends of your handlebars, so your fingers are less exposed. So I've got those pogies plus cloths in there, and I've got quite a few pairs of gloves with me. Yeah, so I think general, it is tough. It's not easy. Like, I think that would be unfair to describe it as easy.
It sounds really hard work, and I'm quite interested in you've obviously got a lot of gloves because that's a problem I find. But even my modest cycling in the Highlands, if I'm cycling when it's cold, it's fine when you're going uphill. But then when you turn around and you freewheel down, you often can't feel your hands at all. Is that a problem you've had?
Yeah, at times, yes. I had that today, actually, because I was cycling up to almost 1,000 meters just right. to having to turn around because the road I was attempting to do, it's like, so just for people who don't know Norway, well, so there's a couple of gravel roads, for example, and normal tarmac roads as well, which are closed during the winter time. And that kind of depends on when the snow comes. They're normally closed. Some are already closed from the end of October.
Right.
Some of them close early January. The Krimstallenwegen I tried today, I had cycled it in August. And There's not much snow in this part of Norway where I am at the moment. It has it snowed quite heavily the last 2 days, but beforehand there wasn't much snow. So I thought like I might give it a go and see if I could do it. But it took me 200 meters to make a decision to turn around because it was basically one massive plank ice sheet with fresh snow above it. And even with studded tires, I've got studded tires on the bike, and I've got a pretty wide footprint as well. Even with those, there was just no chance getting any traction on the back wheel, and I thought like this is pointless if this is going to go on for 30 kilometers.
Wow.
Downhill from that altitude down to the valley, I had some proper cold fingers afterwards. Yeah,
I bet you did. I'm going to hazard a guess that you haven't seen many other cyclists.
No, it is so funny because. I've seen people cycling, like in Lillehammer, for example. I stopped by in the cycle shop in Lillehammer. There was quite a few people out on bikes in Lillehammer. I guess the further north you venture, the less people you see on bikes. I certainly haven't seen anyone touring around in some shape or form.
No,
and it was quite... And it was quite interesting. I stayed in a Airbnb/B&B, I think two nights ago. And the woman was kind of saying, oh, I wouldn't have expected that my first guest for 2025 is someone on a bike. And I felt like, oh, someone's going to do it eventually. Yeah, not many people out there.
You surprised me a bit because you've obviously got an e-bike, is that correct? So you've got some power to it. And are you able to charge it up? Is that possible?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I've stayed in accommodation pretty much each night, which is possibly a sensible anyway, because tonight is going to go down to minus 13. So... You can. I have equipment. I could camp in those temperatures, it's possibly not much fun. This is the kind of thing is I guess there's always like a bit of a trade off if you film adventures like that. Often comes with the thing that you either have to stop during the day to charge up batteries. And the problem is at the moment there's very little daylight. It gets like sunrise is at around about 9:15, 9:30.
Right.
And sunset is at 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So you would be a long time in a tent, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's also like I think it's basically 7 hours of daylight to get some proper photos and footage, which is not long.
You've obviously already you've cycled around the world, you've cycled in all kinds of different places. What attracts you to what is it that the buzz that it gives you for cycling in such varied and challenging places?
So for this adventure, it's interesting. I just had a look at some of my images from the last couple of days. And so I think if you look at all of my adventures, they're like I am attracted by stuff which are a little bit out of the ordinary, I would possibly describe it. And I think with winter cycling, I think for a long time I wanted to do something in the winter because I think often in like it really depends on the country you're in. Like in Norway, like I think people cycle throughout the winter. For them, it's a normal thing to do. But for cycle touring, as you mentioned, like I haven't seen a single person here. And when I looked at the images, I was thinking about that today. And I thought like it's actually an ideal time at the moment, if you, you know, if you've got the right gear, if you can deal with the conditions, it's a great time to tour around Norway because everything's empty. Yeah. Like, you know, places potentially fill up on the weekends because people go skiing. But during the week, like, you can choose, you know, you don't need to book far ahead and whatever. So it's low season, and any low season is great for cycling because you can be a bit more flexible. And like, as I mentioned today, basically I had no idea where I'm gonna, it's hard to plan that sometimes on the bike. So that's cool. If places are available, and the nice thing in Norway is places are not shut over the winter, which is good. So I think in Scotland it's sometimes a bit of a different picture, where places are. And it's, the other thing is like,
It sounds like it gives you tremendous freedom. Is that right?
Yeah, I think in a way it is, definitely. You know, I think if you, I think tremendous freedom in a way if you're prepared for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think you need to, so winter cycling especially, I think it's really good to have kind of an idea of what you're doing, but apply a lot of flexibility to that. So basically each day I set off, I've kind of got like an idea where I want mm-hmm. to get to, but I also look at places in between that could be potential bailout options. As I mentioned today, like if things don't go to plan and you have to change the plan, then at least you're prepared to do that, and I think that's important to have that. So if you're a person who's totally fixated on a schedule and you plan it weeks and weeks in ahead, I think that's tricky to do in winter because there are certain weather conditions which basically mean that you have to do something else. That's the kind of thing. I think there's a point where things mm-hmm. potentially get dangerous. So I think that's the thing. But I think the thing in winter is also like, I looked at the pictures and I think I've got like a 50-50 collection of pictures. Some of them are perfectly monochrome. Kind of, you look at them.
Yeah.
And like, so the last 2 days, it's been snowing quite heavily. Snow, fog, and overcast conditions. So it's basically like the world looks black and white. And then this afternoon for the last 2 hours, it was clearing up a little bit. And I had those amazing colors in the sky. And I think this is the nice thing in winter. Like, you've got such little daylight, but sunrises and sunsets in those low light conditions are just something else. And you also don't have to be up at 3:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Which you have to do if you tour Norway in the summer, then basically there is either no sunset or sunrise, or if you're a bit further south, then it's going to be very, very early. So, you know, if you like to cycle 18 or 19 hours a day, that's possibly ideal conditions, but I would possibly say most people don't. It's kind of like, I think I do like, and, you know, it's also, I guess it's nice to tell a story about that. Like, I think ideally, hopefully, some of this inspires people to cycle throughout the winter. You know, I think UK winters, Scottish winters are slightly different. There's a lot of rain involved, but then that's not necessarily true either sometimes. We do have some wonderful winter days as well. Like, I've spent some of my best days cycling in winter in Scotland. I vividly remember coming down from the lunch hut into the spittle of Clenshee, and it's a really steep track, so that means you can cycle that even if the snow is a little bit deeper, because you've got enough you've got enough speed to get down there.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think it's a wonderful time, and there's a certain sense of achievement to it as well. You know, it's like, I think once you've done out, and if you've been out in the cold for, I don't know, normally I'm out for 9-10 hours a day, then you kind of have achieved being on the couch and being a bit lazy afterwards, and I think that's totally cool.
You've earned your sit down and a piece of cake. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. And obviously, you know, you're coming to Bike Night at the Fort William Mountain Festival fairly soon, really. And tell us a bit about Bike Night. What will that entail?
It's a great evening chatting with other people about bikes and adventures. And I think it's a mix of talks on stage, some inspiring films.
Yes.
Lee Craigie is going to host the whole evening. And hopefully stories to get people,
adventuring more. By the sound of it then. And you yourself have produced a film. Great Gravel Rides, is that correct?
Great British Gravel Rides, yes.
British Gravel Rides. Tell us about your film. It really sounds amazing.
So that's a film which I produced alongside writing my second book. So when I did the project in 2021, it was, a lockdown project. This is essentially where it comes from. I co-published, co-authored the Big Rides book, and then I was asked to do my first soul book. And as my background is, I'm a person who likes to write, I'm a person who likes to take pictures, and I'm a person who likes to film. So I can do the three things, and I kind of switch in between them
whenever it
fits. So when I was asked to do a book, I was like, well, I'm going to be spending at least a day with those people. So to give a bit of a heads up, so the book is 25 routes in various parts of Britain. And I just didn't want to do like a straightforward guidebook. I wanted to add like a little personal touch in there, because I honestly believe that, I think people are, or at least in my case, I'm just... If I want to do something and I see a person who is doing a similar thing and I can see myself in that person doing things, then there's much more motivation to get out there. There was basically the idea behind it. It was just like, I want to have those roots, but I want them to be connected to a person. So when people pick up the book, they get to know the person first and foremost, and then their favorite route. And I think that's much easier, especially for people who are new to cycling and kind of like don't know what they like and what they don't like. And so the book's about that, and so it was an easy thing to.
Just let me ask you, people who don't know, define a gravel ride for me.
Ooh, it's like I think I was pretty loose in my definition of that. Okay. I think it's just I would suggest it's an off-road ride which is not too extreme. So it's an off and like it's not completely off, or most of the routes are not completely off-road. Because there's always I think it's a bit like it depends, like I think the definition of a gravel ride as such very much depends a little bit where you live. I've been to places like Norway and Canada, for example. You've got like gravel roads which go on for hundreds of kilometers.
Right.
So if you wanted to just cycle on gravel, so just cycle off road, you can do that. I think in Scotland it's very hard to find those routes, or in England it's even harder in Wales because there's always a bit of tarmac in between.
I guess in Scotland it's what we would call a hill track or a track, something like that. Is that more or less what you're talking about?
Yeah, pretty much. And there's the odd section of single track in there as well. There's some grassy patches as well. But it's basically something you can cycle on the bike with slightly wider tires than road bikes. And you can have drop bars. You don't have to have drop bars. Basically, when I did the research for the book, I told people, look, I don't want to pin you down to be riding a specific bike, because I also believe the best bike to ride is the one you already have. You don't need to buy like loads and loads of bikes just in order to ride a certain route. So I kept the definition quite loose, and that's basically also in the book. If you look at the pictures, you'll see people on mountain bikes.
Right.
I rode a 1970s Claude Butler single speed.
Right.
That's okay to ride as well. I guess like what kind of bike you ride depends a little bit on your sense of adventure as well. You know, I think if you're like me, I don't mind going down a hill in the Cairngorms and not being 100% sure if my brakes are up for it or not. There's always a bit of header where you can dive into.
Okay.
But I also know that some people would not want to do that. So yeah, they possibly want to have like a full suspension mountain bike with disc brakes, and that ultimately gives you a much smoother ride. So anything in between is fine.
So am I right in thinking that really these are the gravel rides that you've chosen are basically you don't have to be a hardcore mountain biker to enjoy these routes, but they will get you out into, well, perhaps wilder country. Is that a fair enough description?
Yeah. And I think I guess one thing which I didn't actively think about when I researched the book, pretty much all of them, I would describe them as doorstep rides. So, and that's the one big thing about gravel bikes or any of those, whatever you want to call them, is those are bikes you can ride from your front door, you know, ride over a little bit of tarmac, over the odd cycle path, and eventually end up in the countryside somewhere. And then you go back to your front door. And there's also in the book, I was quite keen to kind of change. Like if you look at, I often think some guidebooks are written to kind of pinpoint people into what is often called honeypots. And I'm a big fan. Like I think one thing I love about the bike is that you can pretty much ride it everywhere. Like there's hardly any places in the world where I would think of that are not suitable to ride a bicycle. Yeah. And I think your adventure does not necessarily require having those massive big sceneries or those Instagrammable views wherever. I think it's totally cool just to ride, circumnavigate around your town and find the odd spots there. And that's the nice thing about gravel rides. You can do that, and
really
it's fun. Yeah.
And your films will hopefully inspire a lot of people. And hopefully, I'm assuming that for someone who's sort of trying to get into it, there's quite a lot of information in your book about what you need, you know, sort of suggestions about gear and that sort of stuff. Is that what you've included?
Yeah. There's a big generic section as well.
Right.
And then within... and I think this is the cool thing about like portraying people. Within those portraits, you also, because there are people from all different walks of life.
Right.
Like
okay.
they're not all professional. There's pretty much everything in there. You've got people like Jenny Graham and Mark Beaumont who have both ridden around the world. You know, I would possibly class them as experts.
Right.
But then you've got other people in there who are doing a ride a week or not even that. And I think that's basically I try to kind of portray kind of the widest spectrum possible in gravel cycling. And because I do think that is important, and that's the beauty of it. You don't need to be you don't need to be an expert cyclist in order to ride those routes. But even if you're an experienced cyclist and you want a bit of a challenge, then yeah, there's long rides in the book as well. Yeah, there's a little bit for almost everyone. Not everyone. It's impossible to ride something or produce something for everyone. But I think in the broadest spectrum possible.
It sounds great. I mean, it sounds a really interesting book, and obviously your film and Bike Night itself, I'm sure there'll be a lot of stories and a lot of laughs as well, really. So
yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that, and hope to meet you at the festival. I'm sure we will. There'll be a gathering of folk from the outdoor community. Marcus, I do hope the rest of your slightly hair raising, to me anyway, the rest of your ride goes really well. Thanks for talking to me, and I'll look forward to seeing you and your film at the Fort William Mountain Festival. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Brilliant. Thanks for having us. Can I add one thing in there?
Yeah.
So for bike night, as I mentioned, I'm filming this year. So if I manage to turn it around, I'll hopefully have a short film of the winter adventure,
which
we can show at bike night as well. If that doesn't work, then definitely you're gonna see some very frosty looking pictures, monochrome.
It sounds like it.
As I mentioned beforehand.
Yeah. Okay, Marcus, thank you very much for talking to me.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.